Log Talk Radio.
Holy is your word that I've hidden in my heart. Holy is your word that was there from the start. It cuts like a knife and it's sharp like a sword. I've hid in my heart.
That I've hidden in my heart.
Holy,
holy,
huh? Say it like you mean it. Come on.
From the start.
From the start.
This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
For the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his holy name together. Let us enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and let us enter into his holy courts with praise. Good morning, my brothers and sisters. You're listening to the Spirit Alive Praise and Worship Experience for this September 19th, 2021. Now, I'm the woman of God of this assembly. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I'm Bishop Shalene Cook, and as always, I am being joined by my beautiful and anointed Spirit Alive family. This morning, we have Apostle Edwin and Prophetess Kathleen Holloway in the house with us. We have Mother Shirley Snyder Mitchell in the house with us. Of course, we have Apostle Zeta Flowers in the house with us. Our beautiful sister and friend, Minister Gladys, is in the house with us. And of course, we have my baby sister, Jacoya, in the house with us. So from all of us here at the Spirit Alive Praise and Worship Experience, we just want to say good morning, good morning, good morning, and God bless you. We pray that you will hear something on today that will uplift your spirit and truly bless your soul. But at this time, we are going to go to opening prayer with our very own Prophetess Kathleen Holloway. Amen.
Thank you, Father God. We lift you up this morning, and we magnify your name. You are holy. You are our God, and there's no other God before you. Father God, we just ask that you would bless the program, Father God, that you will give each listener an ear to hear what your spirit is saying to us today. Through the song, through the music, through the testimony, through the word, through your word, Father God. We just thank you, Father God, as we lift up Bishop Cook, Father God, in the name
bless
of Jesus,
now,
that you will continue to anoint and strengthen her. Father God, and each and every listener, each and every person that has a word to say, Father God, that you will anoint them, oh God,
yes,
in the
Jesus.
Name of Jesus. And Father God, that you will continue to move by your spirit worldwide, globally, through this ministry, in the name of Jesus. And God, we just thank you. We're thanking you and we're praising you today for what you're doing for each and every listener. We thank you,
Lord,
and we praise you, God, for lifting us up today. In the name of Jesus, we pray. And Father God, we just give you all of the praise, the glory, and the honor. In the name of your dear son, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen and amen.
Amen. What a beautiful prayer. Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
Can you relate to this? Listen.
Are you in bondage to the status of nice things, addicted to the attention and the compliments they bring?
Is that you?
Feeling the weight of growing debt with each guilt, that's not his will.
That's not his will.
That's not his will. If that's not you, then maybe this one is on point. You still need a drink, or you gotta smoke one joint. To get through the pain of all the heartache that you feel.
That's not his will.
That's not his will.
No, no.
That's not his will.
It's not a trial.
It's not a trial.
And it's not a test.
It's not a test.
Woo.
God wants for you his best, but not until you submit to his will.
How about this?
Do you need validation wrapped up in false love?
Sing.
So you sneak out.
Uh-huh.
To the strip club. Knowing that nothing there can ever be for real.
That's not his will.
That's not his will.
No, no.
That's not his will.
Yeah.
Maybe you think that you will find it in someone.
What?
So you sleep around hoping each time that you're done.
Mm.
But that one is not found and you're still trying to heal.
That's not his
That's
will.
That's not his will.
That's not his
That's
will.
That's not his will.
Come on, sing.
It seems unfair.
And it's so much stress.
It's so much stress.
But God.
God wants for you his best.
Yes.
But not until.
Not until.
You
everywhere. Come on, come on. Just when you thought no one was listening, sing.
He heard your cry.
Uh-huh. Late in the midnight hour.
He knows your silent fear.
He wants to just
he
renew.
He wants to just renew.
His relationship.
His relationship.
Oh God, with you. With you.
Don't be afraid of faith in everything inside.
Yeah.
Even the guilt.
That guilt.
Wrapped up in pride.
Mm.
God will step in, but he's waiting until.
Yes, he will.
You're in his will.
Yeah.
You're in his will.
Don't you give up.
Don't you give up.
Don't settle for less.
Settle for less.
God wants for you.
God wants for you.
His best.
His best.
Yes.
But not until.
But not until. You gotta submit to his will.
Jesus is waiting.
Woo!
To reveal.
Yeah.
His plan for you for real.
Watch this.
But it won't happen.
Woo!
Till you start to submit to his will.
All of God's people, come on.
Will.
Lift your hands to this. Let's submit
will.
To his will. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. We must know his will. It is now time for this morning's meditational reading. And each and every Sunday morning, we ask the faithful mother of this assembly, Mother Shirley Snyder Mitchell, to come and to read to us from a powerful devotional written by Pastor Joseph Prince entitled Destined to Reign. So won't you please now give your undivided attention to Mother Shirley Snyder Mitchell.
Good morning, everyone. I love each and every one of you, and I praise God for this morning service and that I'm able to be here and participate. This morning, the meditational reading is entitled, You Already Are, You Already Have. We'll be looking at Mark 11, verse 24, which reads, Though I say to you, whatever things that you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. Now, God's word tells us that we can have what we ask for in prayer by simply believing that we already have it. As you are praying, know that you already have your answer or breakthrough. Believe that you receive them. The Bible also tells us that we already have whatever we are praying for because we are already blessed with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ. You can read that in Ephesians verse 1, Ephesians 1 and 3. You were in Christ the moment you received him as your Savior. So when you pray, you are actually releasing your faith to lay hold of what you already have in Christ. And as you keep saying that you already have it, Mark 11:23, you will see the manifestation of it in the natural realm. In one of our church camps, a church member shared about the back problem she had for 15 years as a result of a fall from a rooftop. She needed an operation to help stop the shooting pains in her spine. She had also been taking anti-stress pills for 5 years. After coming to church, she realized that she had already received her healing through the finished work of Christ. Refusing the operation and even the pills, she would rebuke the pain, which kept coming back, saying, "In Jesus, I believe I am healed. I am not trying or going to be healed. I am already healed. I have a brand new backbone, for I am in Christ. As Christ is, so am I in the world." It was not very long before this sister saw the manifestation of her healing. Now, sometimes the symptoms of a sickness or of life may return, and you think that you still have not received your blessing. That is the time to release your faith and declare that you already have it. You are not confessing to get it. You are confessing because you already have it in Christ. My friend, the Bible tells us that Christ is in us, Colossians 1:27. This means that right now, your healing, prosperity, wellness, family's well-being, and everything your heart desires are in you. So say, I have everything I need in Christ right now. May the Lord add blessings and favor to the readers, hearers, and especially the doers of his holy and righteous word. The thought for today, because Christ is in you, your healing, prosperity, wellness, and family well-being are in you right now. Amen.
For somebody else, he's a lawyer in a courtroom. For somebody Father, he's a company keeper. Are you going to praise God with me? Everybody. For me would never change.
Love for me would never change.
You're worth it.
Your worth.
And you say this, because you died for me.
Because you died for me.
I have the victory. Can you join with us right here? Jesus, come on. Lift those hands and pray for us. Hallelujah. You're worthy. We magnify you. We adore you. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah, glory to God. Jesus, we love you with our whole heart. Hallelujah. It is now prayer time here at the Spirit Alive Praise and Worship Experience. And this is a time when we come together as a family to stand in the gap for our brothers and sisters, not only here in the United States, but for our brothers and sisters all over this globe. We want our brothers and sisters to know that we are concerned about the things that concern you. We see them and we lift them up to God. And here at the Spirit of Life Praise and Worship Experience, you need to know that we pray until something happens. Hallelujah. We expect God to move when we pray. We believe that he can do exceedingly and abundantly more than we can even think to ask when we pray. So we are going to the Lord, and I want you to bow your hearts. And this morning, we're going to be praying with so much love and so much sincerity and purity that I know God is going to pull down some strongholds. He's going to endow people with some revelations. He's going to change the very atmosphere right now. So please bow your heads and your hearts as we go to prayer with Apostle Edwin Holloway. Amen.
Father God, in the name of Jesus, God of heaven, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. God, this morning we come before your throne and we lift up, oh God, those people, God, all around the country, all around the world. God, in the name of Jesus, God, that don't know you, God, and those that do know you. God, we ask you, Lord, to touch them from the crown of their head to the soles of their feet, God. In the name of Jesus, God, your spirit, God, your power, God, your anointing, God, in the name of Jesus. Father God, you are the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace, the Rose of Sharon, the lily of the valley, the bright and morning star. God, we thank you, God. We thank you for them listening, God. And, Lord, we just ask you, Lord, to break up the fallow ground, God, in the name of Jesus, that they might have an ear to hear what the Spirit is saying unto them, oh, God, in the name of Jesus. Lord, God, whatever they're going through, God, we just ask you, Lord, to touch them, God, deliver and set free, God. In the name of Jesus, God. And we know that some of our sisters and brothers of God are being persecuted, God, because they call on your name. So, Father God, we just ask you, Lord, to deliver them out of the hands of the fowler in the name of Jesus. God, we ask you, Lord, those pharaohs that are over them, God, we ask you, Lord, to deliver them out of the pharaohs in the name of Jesus. Lord, we just ask you, Lord, to be a blessing to them, oh God, in the name of Jesus, God, that you get glory out of their lives, get glory out of our lives, oh God, as we continue to pray for them, as we continue to do the work of the ministry to edify the body of Christ.
Yes, sir.
In the name of Jesus.
Yes, sir.
So, God, we thank you and we give you the praise, God, that we have the opportunity to come on the air and call on your name, God, in the name of Jesus. Some places, God, they can't call on your name. If they mention your name, God, they get shot. They get persecuted.
Yes, Lord. Bless, Lord. Protect, God.
So, God, we thank you this morning, God, that you are our God and that we are in a place, God, that so far, God, that we can call on your name and nobody bothers us. So, God, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you, God.
Thank
you,
Lord.
We give you all the praise. We give you all the glory and honor in Jesus' name.
Yes.
Amen.
Ooh, amen. Hallelujah. What a beautiful prayer. Glory to God. Yes, sir.
The question is, when you're standing at a crossroads, what do you do? Real sweet, when a fork is in the road. When the world is on your shoulders. When your back is up against the wall. What do you do? You hold on and keep the faith. Tell somebody on your road, say, come on, tell somebody sitting around you, keep the faith.
He has worked it out before.
He has worked it out before.
But you're working on it, yeah.
Oh, hallelujah. That was Pastor Charles Jenkins singing, Keep the Faith. Hallelujah. It is now time for this morning's message. Please retrieve your Bibles if you have not already done so. And turn back to the book of Acts. We're going back to chapter 1. And this morning we will be looking at verses 15 through 26. That is Acts chapter 1, verses 15 through 26. And there we are going to be looking at how we take care of business, hallelujah, by discerning God's will. Most gracious and heavenly Father, I just come now before your throne of grace just full and grateful. Father, thank you for yet another opportunity to go out over the airways all over the world with your holy word. Lord, completely empty me of myself. Step into this yielded vessel of clay and teach your children what you would have them to know about you. Father, I pray that you will use this message to strengthen, to encourage and equip the saints. And I pray, Lord, that on this day, someone would hear something in this message or through the music or through the testimonies, Father God, that are the reading that will have caused them to give their lives over to you lock, stock, and barrel with their whole hearts. So it is in your mighty and matchless name I do pray it all. Amen and amen. The word of the Lord from Acts 1, 15 through 26 reads as follows. And in those days, Peter stood up in the midst of the disciples and said, and then it says in parentheses, the number of names together were about 120. Men and brethren, this scripture must needs have been fulfilled, which the Holy Ghost by the mouth of David spake before concerning Judas, which was guide to them that took Jesus. For he was numbered with us and had obtained part of this ministry. Now this man purchased a field with the reward of iniquity, and falling headlong, he burst asunder in the midst, and all his bowels gushed out. And it was known unto all the dwellers at Jerusalem, insomuch as that field is called in their proper tongue, Al-Sadama, that is to say, the field of blood. For it is written in the book of Psalms, let his habitations be desolate, and let no man dwell therein, and his bishopric let another take. Wherefore these men which have accompanied with us all the time that the Lord Jesus went in and out amongst us, beginning from the baptism of John, unto the same day that he was taken up from us, must one be ordained to be a witness with us of his resurrection. And they appointed two, Joseph and Barsabbas, who was surnamed Justus, and Matthias. And they prayed and said, Thou, Lord, which knowest the hearts of all men, show whether of these two thou hast chosen, that he may take part of this ministry and apostleship, from which Judas by transgression fell, that he might go to his own place. And they gave forth their lots, and the lot fell upon Matthias, and he was numbered with the 11 apostles. Saints of God, from what I've just read, it sounds like that we have just borne witness to the first official church business meeting. Amen. Because you see, if you're going to be a part of God's dream team, then we have to take care of business. And if we're going to take care of business, we have to know God's will. And we can know God's will if we keep our hearts right and we trust him completely. So some might be asking, how do we do that in these turbulent, chaotic times? Well, I'm going to give you some perspective this morning that will help us all to discern the will of God in our lives. First of all, I want you to know that we can always lean on, rely on, trust in the reliability of the scriptures. We need to always let the Bible be our guide. Why? Because the Bible is absolutely trustworthy. You see, as Peter stands up to address the issue of the missing apostle, he turns first to God's word. And that's a good lesson for all of us to learn, because the principles in God's word gives us guidance for every kind of situation that we can face in life. Now, scripture may not give us an explicit example of every situation we might face, but the principles of love, mercy, forgiveness, justice, and humility will help us find what God wants us to do. You see, the world today doesn't understand how the Bible speaks to us. However, God's word is eternal. It does not change. What he inspired over 3,500 years ago is still relevant for our lives today. You see, we will never outgrow our need for God's word. Why? Because it can be trusted to help us through this life. As God speaks to us, the words on that page become alive in us. Now, Paul reminds Timothy of the value of the Old Testament in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 through 7, when he writes, "All scripture is inspired by God and is useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It straightens us out and teaches us to do what is right. It is God's way of preparing us in every way. It is his way of fully equipping us for every good thing that he wants us to do. Now, likewise, the New Testament is fully inspired by God and can be trusted as a means of receiving revelation from God." Now, some of you might be saying to yourself, "Okay, Pastor, okay, Bishop, that all sounds oh so very spiritual. But how do we really know that what is in the Bible is true?" Well, there are people who believe that the New Testament was written so long after the life of Jesus that it is not an accurate reflection of what really happened. In other words, all that Jesus said and did was blown out of proportion, kind of like a myth or a legend. But I happen to agree with Brother Lee Stobel, who answers this question very well in his book, The Case for Christ. He says that even if most of the New Testament was written 40 years after Jesus' death and resurrection, that is not nearly enough time for a legend to develop. There would have been too many people, too many Christians and enemies of God still around who had been in Jerusalem and who had witnessed the events. And they would have set the record straight if it had been blown out of proportion. Now, he goes on to say that the earliest biographies on the life of Alexander the Great were written by Arrian and Plutarch more than 400 years after his death in 323 BC. However, historians consider their accounts to be factual and trustworthy. Legend did develop about Alexander the Great, but not until more than 500 years after his death. By that comparison, 30 or 40 years after Jesus' death would not have been enough time for any kind of legend or myth to even develop. Now, we could go on and relate other evidence that supports the validity of Scripture, including the fact that other historical documents line up with many of the events in Scripture. However, I think you get the point. The point is the Bible can be trusted. It was not man's idea. It was God's idea. Jesus quoted an Old Testament scripture when he was being tempted by the devil. He said to him, "It is written, man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God." So if you read your Bible, if you read the basic instructions before leaving earth, hallelujah, this will be your guide on how to live your life. Why is the Bible reliable? Well, when Peter stood up to speak, he said, the prophecies in Scripture must be fulfilled. So you see, just as God's word is accurate and relevant for our daily lives, so are the promises and the prophecies in Scriptures that will happen in God's timing. Peter said, the Scripture had to be fulfilled. What God has said will come to pass. Now, check this out. It might not happen in your lifetime, but I want you to know and believe this. If God said it, he will do it, because we can trust his promises. So then I know a few more of you might be sitting out there thinking, well, Pastor, why did there need to be 12 apostles anyway? Why did they need to select someone to take the place of Judas? You know what? Because there is a significance of 12 apostles. You see, after the Dead Sea Scrolls were discovered, scholars were able to read about what was called the Essene community of devout Jews who had written and preserved the scrolls. Now, the Essenes viewed themselves as the true remnant of Israel, and they chose 12 special leaders to symbolize the correlation between the 12 tribes of Israel. It appears that Jesus chose the 12 to indicate the same thing, that Jesus was indeed preserving the true remnant of Israel, which in the books of Acts would become known as the church. Now, Judas had forfeited his place among the 12, so a replacement was needed in order to convey this idea that the church would be the true remnant of Israel. Look what Luke writes in his first book in chapter 22:29-30. And just as my Father has granted me a kingdom, I now grant you the right to eat and drink at my table in that kingdom. And you will sit on thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Now, isn't it just amazing how Scripture all works together and agrees with itself? 12 tribes of Israel, 12 apostles of Christ, and 12 thrones. I think God knows what he is doing, and we can catch a glimpse of that in his word. And it helps us to know that we can trust the Bible. But we also need to know the fate of those who does not obey God's word. So quickly, I'm going to look at the reward that Judas received. See, if we don't follow that word and get the reward of eternity, we will reap the reward of the wicked. Verse 18 says, now this man purchased a field with the reward of iniquity, and falling headlong, he burst asunder in the midst, and all his bowels gushed out. So the wicked, we can see from this, they're going to get death. And it's not just a physical death, but it's an eternal spiritual separation from God. Ezekiel 33:11 says, say to them, as surely as I live, declares the sovereign Lord, I take no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but rather that they turn from their ways and live. Turn from your evil ways. Why will you die, O house of Israel? Romans 6:23 says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. And then we know one of the most famous scriptures in the whole wide world is, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. You see, God is not willing that anyone should perish or be separated from him for all eternity. That is why he is so clear in Scripture about the fate of the wicked. Those that do not love God or acknowledge him as Lord are heading for eternal punishment. Yes, I know that a lot of preachers do no longer preach about hell and damnation, but guess what? Hell is still in the Bible. It is still a place, and if you're wicked, you're still going to go there. Yes. Even though God's plan for mankind is eternal life and not eternal death, we, man, must choose life over death. Because, see, the wicked, they're going to get death and they're going to get desolation. And that refers to Judas's name, family, and all his material possessions. And this is fitting when we read of how Judas was greedy, dishonest, and unfaithful. John tells us in John 12:6 that Judas was a thief and used to take money from the box that the disciples kept among them. So the man who was in it for the money died destitute of any riches whatsoever. Let me explain something to you people. Folks, money is not important to God. But how we think about money and how we manage our money that he has blessed us with, it's highly important to God. The Lord Jesus himself said, you cannot serve God in money. Money is to be a servant, not a master. If money controls how you think, how you live, and how you value other people, then you need to do a spirit check. You need to go have a talk with Jesus and repent that thing right now. Because if you don't, you are headed, you are on a one-way trip straight to the pit of hell. See, we have to beware of the temptations of getting something for nothing. If that is the motivating factor in your life, please check your heart. Please check your heart. Saints of God, that's why so many people get caught up in the scams in the world. You know, they hear something, and they want something for nothing. They want to cling on. So the scammer is preying upon your desperation, your need, and your greed. But I came to tell you something this morning. The idea of getting something for nothing is a poverty mentality, and it is blatantly, totally unbiblical. And it's going to lead you to poverty and not to blessing. Jesus said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. We should expend more energy trying to bless someone else than trying to secure blessings for ourselves. Now, I'm not telling anyone to refuse God's people's kindness, but you're not supposed to manipulate yourself, position yourself, you know, suggest it for yourself or position yourself for it. We know that the reward Judas received for his wickedness was 30 pieces of silver. That money was used to buy a field where Judas was buried after he took his own life. Oh, what a tragic end for a man who has spent 3 years with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. What a pitiful end for someone who sat and ate with the Lord and Master. He had everything that he would ever need in Christ Jesus, but he cashed it all in for his own personal gain. So we can see that the reward of wickedness is poverty, desolation, and next, disqualification. Word of God says, may another take his place of leadership. Judas left to go where he belongs. Not only was Judas desolate, but he was disqualified. He was disqualified from apostleship, and he disqualified himself from eternal life. The question comes up, could Jesus have been saved? Would Jesus have forgiven Judas if he repented? Now, you may or may not agree with me here, But I believe that the Jesus I served would have forgiven him if he would have repented. However, there was no repentance in Judas's heart. Now, I think there was remorse. I think there was shame. And I think there was sorrow. But I do not believe that there was repentance. You could not write a more depressing biography than that of Judas. He saw himself as being out of reach of God's grace. So rather than face up to what he had done, which was betraying the Son of God, he took matters into his own hands and ended the life God had given him. And I hope nobody that's within the sound of my voice that is listening anywhere in this world thinks that they are out of the reach of God's grace. No matter what you've done in the past, I'm telling you, God will and can forgive you. Where there is true repentance from the heart, there is forgiveness in that heart. But it has to be true repentance. You see, sometimes we, people, like to create limits to God's grace. We might say things like, God will not forgive a person who is a child molester. Now, thanks to God, while to me, that is one of the worst things that I can think of for a person to do, I still have to disagree with that statement. You see, God's grace can reach beyond man's lowest and ugliest sin and bring forgiveness and restoration if there is true forgiveness, there's true repentance. Without repentance, the reward of the wickedness is disqualification. But I came to tell somebody this morning, there is not a place that cannot be reached by God's grace. Hallelujah. There is not a pit too low that he can't pull you up out of. But anyway, I had to touch on that for a quick hot second, but let me go on to something more positive, like the reward of the faithful. See, when you're a team player, when you're on the dream team, we have to make sure that Christ has our whole heart. You see, they wanted someone who had been, as they said, with us the whole time. This speaks of faithfulness and commitment. It also speaks of someone who spent a lot of time with the Lord. Peter seems to give two qualifications for being one of the 12 apostles. They have to be trained by Jesus and a witness of the resurrection. Men stood out as the most qualified of the group of believers. They weren't in and out, on again, off again, but they continued faithfully with the Lord and the other disciples the whole time Jesus ministered. See, these were not men that when it got tough or when it got too hot, they let them say, oh, Lord, you go ahead. We'll catch you at the next stop. You know, these were not men that when their very lives were on the line, were being threatened, they did not run off into the trees and leave Jesus standing there alone. These were men that stood there the whole time because this is in the harmony, is in harmony with God's teaching on faithfulness. It says, you have been faithful in the little things. Therefore, I will make you rule over many things. Faithfulness brings both reward, but it also brings responsibility. Matthias was chosen based on the history of faithfulness and a heart that pleased God. God is described literally as the knower of hearts. And church tradition tells us that he later became a missionary to the Ethiopians. God is the one who knows our hearts today. He knows every thought we think. He knows our motives. So we may as well be completely honest with him and with ourselves and invite him to come in and really change our hearts. You see, we don't want to be half-hearted in our love and our commitment to Jesus. We want to love the Lord with our whole heart, with all of our soul and all of our mind and all of our strength. And if we do that, we will not lose our reward. The reward of the faithful is eternal life that is being lived in the here and the now. Yes, We will meet Jesus in the air someday, but until then, we got to meet him in our prayer closet. We got to meet him at his altar. We got to meet him all through the day as we touch the lives of other people and he lives and works through us. We have to let his life be expressed through our life. And finally, as we trust God's word and we consider the rewards of both wickedness and faithfulness, he will lead us into the knowledge of his will, saints. So once we get that word down in us, by the power of his Holy Spirit, and we get that revelation of God's will, all we have to do is pray and step on out in faith. You see, casting lots is similar to rolling the dice. And it's probably not recommended form of discerning God's will. But it was common in the Old Testament. Proverbs 16:33 says, the lot is cast unto the lap, but its every decision is from the Lord. Now, after the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, we don't have to find believers casting lots anymore, because the implication is that the Holy Spirit will lead and guide us into all truth. He will enable us to discern the will of God. Ooh, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus, for your Holy Spirit. The best thing that we can do to find God's will is to pray. However, there also comes a point when we must step out on faith. The apostles prayed, then they cast lots, trusting God for the outcome. So when you are seeking to go know God's will for your life, I came to tell you there is help. First, the Bible should be your guide to approach every situation. Second, we need to make sure our hearts are right with God so we do not go the way of Judas. And third, we must pray, asking God to guide us in the right direction. Then we need to step out on faith and do what we know is right to do. We all have common sense that God gave us to use. This is why the apostles selected two good men who have been faithful and who have been with them, with them and with the Lord during his ministry. I might also add that God may give you insight through other believers. However, do not try to get them to make your decisions for you. Listen to their insight, and if it agrees with God's word and what the Holy Spirit is speaking to your heart, then you can receive it, and you can do it. So I come to ask you today, are you a part of God's dream team? Hallelujah. Are you living a life that lets the world know that you're a part of God's dream team? And you might be saying, well, let me show you how it hooks up together. Look, when you are a child of the living God and you are a part of his dream team, right here in the real world, right now, you will be able to say to God, Father God, I don't care what my little eyeballs see or my little eardrums hear. I know this. Holy is your word that is grafted in my heart. And I, Father God, do not want to be eternally separated from you. So I am going to stand on your word. I'm going to stand on your promises. Hallelujah. I'm going to do what your spirit tells me to do. I'm going to go when your spirit tells me to go. I'm going to give what your spirit tells me to give. Yeah. Yeah. And I'm going to do it when he says do it. Because holy is your word. And I want to be an obedient child, Father God. I don't want to do my own thing. I want to do your thing. I want to be a part of your dream team. I want to go out there and live my life so that somebody might say, how you living? How you do that? And God, while I'm looking at it all, I am saying hallelujah, however the situation may come. I am a child of you, and I am on your dream team. Therefore, whatever the situation, I'm just going to pray and keep it moving in your holy name. Because if you brought me through to it, you're going to take me through it. And I know, Father God, that you're not concerned about what other people are doing. No, sir. You are concerned about my response. Am I being responsible with your word? Am I living that word responsibly so that other people might see you, Father God, and turn their lives over to you? Am I praying for in every situation, for every relationship? Am I praying first and not as the last measure? Am I giving you glory first instead of seeking glory for myself? Am I honoring you first instead of seeking to be honored myself? Say to God, the Lord doesn't want any of us to perish in or out of the church. But we have to get real. We have to get real about who we are and how we are lining up with the word of God. Because like I said, whether preachers are preaching it today or not, because I know it's an ugly subject, it does not get money up in the coffers, but there is a hell. There is a permanent separation from God.
Yeah.
And even though we may have given our life to Jesus, God can still turn you over to a reprobate mind if you don't obey him, if you don't live for him, if you don't do what he told you to do. So just because you say the words, if there's no heart set change, mindset change, submitting to the Spirit, hallelujah, true repentance, hallelujah, then there can be no real victory. Hallelujah. And to God be the glory. I pray that this message blessed you on this morning. And I just want you to know right now, in the name of Jesus, if there's someone within the sound of my voice anywhere on this planet that does not know Jesus in the pardon of their sin, I'm asking you to bow your heart before the Most High God and give your life over to him without delay today. And now I'm going to call forth one of our ministers. Now I'm going to call forth Minister Tina. Oh, excuse me, Minister Gladys. And Minister Gladys, you go ahead on and present the invitation and lead them in the repentance prayer, the sinner's prayer. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. We must be having some technical difficulty, but the word of God keeps moving right along. Right now, saints of God, this is one of my most favorite parts of the worship service. Hallelujah. It's when I give you all an opportunity to just give God praise, glory, and honor. But right now, as I was going to say, to those of you that don't know the Lord, all you have to do is bow your heart and go before him and pray this prayer. Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. Please forgive me of my sin, for I believe that you are the Son of the living God and that you came, you lived, you died, and you rose for my sin. Now, Jesus, all that I am or ever want to be, I'm going to turn that over to you right now and commit it to you. Step into me, Father God, and use me for your purpose and glory. Lord, I want to know your will for my life. I want to be a new creation in you. I want to live the abundant life. And I want to be pleasing in your sight. And then all you have to do is say, in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. And Amen. To God be the glory. And if you had said that prayer, if you just said that prayer, I want to be the first to welcome you to the family of God. I want you to know that the angels in heaven are rejoicing because when one soul comes to the Lord, they have a praise party like you could never imagine up in heaven. And I want you to know that Jesus is standing at your door right now, and he will be presenting you with a beautiful eternal welcome basket. In that is your salvation, your faith, grace, mercy, joy, discernment. Hallelujah. There is so much in there, and it's all for you, and he has just been waiting to give it to you. So today, all of those gifts can be yours just by saying that simple, heartfelt prayer. Now, at this time, I'm going to ask the servants of God to come on in, and we're going to let them have a word this morning. And if you would like to have a word or just say praise God, you may press the one on your keypad. I will address you by your area code and the last four digits of your phone number. And when you do that, know that you are live, you are in the worship service, and just get your praise on. Amen. We're going to start back up there at the top with our beautiful apostle and prophetess Holloway. Come on in the room with your, and if you have any praise today, bring it on.
I just praise God. Thank you, Bishop. It was a wonderful service and a wonderful word. And that word is a stirring word. To trust and rely on the word of God is what I hear. And I also hear being faithful and true repentance before God. God knows that we cannot change ourselves. And that's why Jesus came, died, and rose again on that third day, because he paid the price so that we can change and that we can be blessed in this life. And I was also hearing that there is a hell. Hell is real.
It's real.
Heaven is real. And also what came to me is this is something, maybe somebody else has thought about this, but as you were talking, as Bishop was talking about Judas, I'm thinking to myself, how many people are named Judas? Judas left a reputation. Nobody hardly is. I don't know if there's anybody that named their child Judas after Judas. But because it brings on, whatever we name our children, it brings on a spirit.
Yes.
And saved and unsaved are not naming their children Judas. So it was a good word today and a good revelation. Thank you, Bishop. God bless
God
you.
God bless you, Papa Ted. Thank you.
We give God praise, glory, and honor today for that word. That word was rich, and we thank God for the word. The 12 disciples. The 12 means government.
Yep.
And
amen.
They had to get somebody to place Judas. And they did, and they moved on, and they did the work of the ministry. And we, as saints of God, God sent his son that we might be reconciled back to him so that we can move into our place. All of us have a destiny to fulfill.
Come on.
And so God sent his son that we might be turned around so that we can fulfill the destiny. And he made it so plain and so easy to join in the body of Christ. He didn't say that you got to run down the road, run back, and you got to do 50 flips, and then you got to turn around and do another. All he said is to believe, trust in God, believe in your heart that Jesus came, that God sent his son, that we might be reconciled back to him. And we believe, and we confess with our mouth, as we believe in our heart. And so he made it so simple for us. Even not even a fool could error. So we thank God for him coming. And me, I was in that place. I was born in the church, but didn't know Jesus. Until one day I made a vow to the Lord, and he let me run for 10 years. And then 10 is testing. After 10, he knocked on my door of my heart and said, okay, it's time for you to come on in. And I gave in and gave up to the Lord. So saints of God, those who just joined, we welcome you to the body of Christ. This is going to be a wonderful ride. Some days it's going to be up, some days it's going to be down. But remember, Jesus said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you.
Thank you.
In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. And thanks to God, brothers and sisters, I want you to know something. You stirred up there something, Prophetess Kathleen, about Judas. You know, there's people in our lives that betray us, that hurt us. And when I said, you know, people said, well, would Jesus forgive them? Yes. And we have to forgive ours, too. Because no matter what, we have to know and understand that God doesn't put anything in front of us that we are not able to handle. So there's somebody sitting out there listening to me today, and you've been hurt by someone, and you're just not ready to forgive them because they really and truly hurt you. They really feel like a Judas to you. I want you to forgive them so that you can release yourself from the hurt and and allow God to begin to heal you. Forgiving someone does not mean that you condone what they do. Forgiving someone means that you no longer give them the power to hurt you with it. Forgiveness means that you understand that in order for you to be forgiven by God, you must forgive. So just we have to do everything for God with our whole heart. You know, we can't sort of kind of forgive people. We can't sort of kind of tell people about Jesus. We can't sort of kind of pray. We have to do everything for the Lord with our whole heart. Hallelujah, with all that is within us. So that, hallelujah, I don't know who I'm talking to, but I have to be obedient, and I just want you to know, until you learn how to forgive your Judases, you are not truly going to know peace. You're not going to know joy. You're not going to know true blessings, because as long as you hold on to that, you tie God's hands. So release it today. Come on back home to the church where you belong. In Jesus' name, amen. Mother Mitchell, your praise.
Amen. Thank you, Bishop. I want to say and point out there are so many messages. This was a wonderful message. I thank you for this message. And I want to part out a few things that are so simple to our young people if they are listening today. Because sometimes when these messages get on and they haven't heard the previous messages, some of them, they get kind of lost in the shuffle of the word. But, you know, she said this. I heard her say this. If God said it, he will do it. I believe that with all my heart. She said there's 12 apostles, 12 special tribes of Judah, and that became the church. Now, there's 12 tribes, 12 apostles, and there were 12 thrones of men to be judged. Money is a servant, not a master. You know, we need to take hold of these things early so as we grow older, we can understand these things and fill them in where we need them as these things happen in our life. Now, I believe some things about Judas, too. You know, I see girls and mothers name their children Desiree and all of these things, and I don't know if they understand how that could be a representation for their daughters or not. I didn't name my daughter no Desiree, and nobody was going to tell me to do that. If they had, I wouldn't have done it anyway. But anyway, that's a whole nother thing. But don't do that to your children. When I hear somebody come and tell me that their son is named Joseph or Joshua, I say, oh, boy, your parents gave you a good name. You got a lot to live up to. See, those are the names you want your children to have if you're going to name them biblical names. Take hold of that when you get older and start having your children. Give them something to hold on to and to be proud of, even in their name. I think the Lord would have forgiven Judas had he repented, as Bishop said, because he says in his word he wants no one to fail, no one not to be able to get to glory. But Judas was too hard-hearted, as we are sometimes. And we just won't do what needs to help us to turn around so we can be repent and move on. Forgiving someone, if I forgive someone, that forgiveness is for me, not for them. It's for me. It doesn't say I forget what they did to me. I don't have to forget it. I just need to move past it so it doesn't keep hurting me. So I thank you, Bishop, for the opportunity to leave the young people some of these words. And I thank you for being able to say a few words for my Lord and Savior.
Amen. Hallelujah. Saints of God, you have been listening to the Spirit Alive Praise and Worship Experience for this Sunday. Hallelujah. September 19th, 2020. Will there be any, since there are a few more people sitting in the sanctuary this morning, is there anyone else that would like to offer up a word of praise? Because I know, and you do not have to try to follow what you just heard. The Lord wants you to just be you. He doesn't want you, he doesn't need you trying to be a Joyce Meyer or anybody else. He just needs you to be you. Okay? So if you just want to say, praise God, I'm glad I was here, whatever that God leads or lays on your heart, you're more than welcome at this time. Thank you, Jesus. So having said that, I want to thank all of you for listening this morning. I just praise God for each and every one of you. I pray that you received a blessing. I want to thank God for all the beautiful servant leaders that was here on today. And now, hallelujah, let the words of our mouth and the meditations of our heart be acceptable, Father God, in thy sight. O Lord, you are truly our strength and our redeemer. Amen, and thank you, Jesus. Please, I am inviting all servant leaders, all people that truly believe that God can answer prayer, does answer prayer, that have sincere hearts. Hallelujah. Because, see, this is not a drill. This is not time for us to play games. But I'm inviting you to come out and pray with me on tomorrow. Allow the people around the world to hear you cry out to God for the issues, hallelujah, that we see going on. And I'm asking you to be in real prayer about things going on the inside. The Lord laid it in my spirit to get to the root of things. You see, we can rebuke spirits all we want to, but until we begin to pray about the issues that summons those demons to begin with, they're not going anywhere. So I want people to get real, get right, and let's get prayerful. Tomorrow at 6 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Central, and 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and join me for Taking It to the Streets, Sweet Hour of Prayer. Hallelujah. So, my brothers and sisters, remember, we pray that you continue to acknowledge Christ in all that you do. Hallelujah. And that you join and continue to walk with us throughout the week here on the Spirit Alive Network. And I want to thank all of you for your feedback. And I praise God for those of you that let me know that you listen to those servant leaders that are always supportive and always there, not just those that show up to do a program, and that's as it should be. So I want to thank you for your wisdom. I want to thank you for your spirit. And so I want you to go with God, go in peace, continue to have a beautiful and blessed weekend from our household to your household. It is our fervent prayer that you be ye transformed. You are dismissed, everybody. Have a beautiful and blessed week. Bye-bye. God bless you all.
Bye-bye.
One level servants, servant leaders, I love you. Hallelujah. God bless you.
Thank you.